So desperate, thoughtful Telemachus exclaimed. How could I drive you from my ship? Come, sail with us. We'll tend you at home with all we can provide. And he took the prophet's honed bronze spear, laid it down full length on the rolling deck, swung aboard the deep-sea craft himself, assuming the pilot's seat reserved astern, and put the seer beside him. Cables cast off. Telemachus shouted out commands to all his shipmates. All lay hands to tackle! They sprang to orders, hoisting the pinewood mast. They stepped it firm in its block amidships, lashed it fast with stays, and with braided rawhide halyards hauled the white sail high. Now bright-eyed Athena sent them a stiff following wind, blustering out of a clear sky, gusting on so the ship might run its course through the salt sea at top speed, and past the springs she raced, and the Chalcis rushing stream as the sun sank, and the roads of the world grew dark, and on she pressed for Phaeae, driven on by a wind from Zeus, and flew past lovely Elis, where Epeans rule in power, and then Telemachus veered for the jagged islands, wondering all the way, would he sweep tear of death or be cut down? The king and loyal swineherd, just that night, were supping with other field hands in the lodge. Once they'd put aside desire for food and drink, Odysseus spoke up, eager to test the swineherd, see if he'd stretch out his warm welcome now, invite him to stay on in the farmstead here, or send him off to town. Listen, Aeneas, all you comrades here, at the crack of dawn I mean to go to town and do my begging, not be a drain on you and all your men, but advise me well, give me a trusty guide to see me there, and then I'm on my own to roam the streets. I must, I have no choice, hoping to find a handout, just a crust or cupful. I'd really like to go to the house of King Odysseus, and give my news to his cautious queen Penelope. Why, I'd even mix with those overweening suitors. Would they spare me a plateful? Look at all they have. I'd do good work for them promptly, anything they want. Let me tell you, listen closely, catch my drift. Thanks to Hermes the guide, who gives all work of our hands the grace and fame that it deserves, no one alive can match me at household chores. Building a good fire, spitting kindling neatly, carving, roasting meat, and pouring rounds of wine. Anything menials do to serve their noble masters? God's sake, my friend, you broke in now, Eumaeus, loyal swineherd, deeply troubled. What's got into your head? What crazy plan? You must be hell-bent on destruction, on the spot. If you're keen to mingle with that mob of suitors, their pride and violence hit the iron skies. They're a far cry from you, the men who do their bidding. Young bucks, all rigged out in their fine robes and shirts, hair sleeked down with oil. Faces always beaming, the ones who slave for them. The table's polished, sagging under the bread and meat and wine. Now, stay here. No one finds you a burden. Surely not I. Not any comrade here. You wait till Odysseus's dear son comes back. That boy will deck you out in a cloak and shirt and send you off wherever your heart desires. If only, Eumaeus, the wayworn exile said, you were as dear to Father Zeus as you are to me. You who stopped my pain, my endless, homesick roving, tramping about the world, there's nothing worse for a man. But the fact is that men put up with misery to stuff their cursed bellies. But seeing you hold me here, urging me now to wait for him, the prince who's on his way, tell me about the mother of King Odysseus, please, the father he left as well on the threshold of old age when he sailed off to war. Are they still alive, perhaps, still looking into the light of day, or dead by now and down in death's long house? Friend, the swineherd, foreman of men, assured his guest, I'll tell you the whole story, point by point. Laertes is still alive. But night and day he prays to Zeus, waiting there in his house for the life